This last week, I don't know how many of you are Facebook users. I am. And an individual, a friend of mine, posted on Facebook that one of the great signs of generosity in our culture happened to him. Basically, what happened, he was driving through Starbucks, came to the drive-thru, ordered his coffee, pulled up to the window, said to the barista, "Here's my money." And she said, "Don't worry about it. You don't have to pay. Car in front of you already paid for that." That driver ahead of him that paid for his drink, there was nothing in it for them, right? They got nothing. They were just like, "You know what? I'm going to be generous. I'm going to bless. I'm going to be kind to the person behind me. I'm just going to pay for it." Nothing in it for them. Now, both individuals, the person that gave and the person that got the coffee, you know, besides just the bump in life from the shot of espresso they got, also just, you know, like, yeah, good feeling, right? My wife works at Starbucks, and she's a barista there. She'll oftentimes tell me stories of people doing the exact opposite of that. A couple of things happen this way. You know that at Starbucks, maybe you don't know this, somebody else came up to me today, like, "Thank you, that was worth it." At Starbucks, if you're there and you get a drip coffee, you can get refills of that drip coffee all day long. You just go back up, and they'll refill it for free. You can do the same thing with tea. So keep your same cup. There are some people that have decided that they're going to be selfish enough, they're going to think about themselves so much that they take that cup home with them at night. And then they come back the next day and they're like, "Could I get my free refill?" And then they drink coffee all day long, and then they take that cup home with them, and they come back the next day, "Can I get my free refill?" And eventually the cup's like wiggly, right? And the baristas are like, "Come on," right? Or they do it with tea or whatever, and they just stretch the system. There's other people that will come in and they'll order a grande drip, you know, so about this much coffee, but they'll order it in a venti cup. So now they get the cup this big, and then they use that extra space to fill it up with milk or sugar or whatever. They make a poor man's latte. But they only pay for this much, but they want this much. And they're doing, these are minor, right? Like, not that big a deal, free coffee, free root. But it seems so small, but basically what's happening is people are just saying, "You know what, I'm going to take it for myself. That, you know what, I'll just take more for me, mess with the rest of you." Because ultimately, like Starbucks, they're not going to lose money on this thing, right? So what they're going to do, Starbucks is then going to pass the cost along to the rest of us, which is why a latte costs $5. Actually, nobody has any idea why a latte costs $5. Starbucks doesn't even know why a latte costs $5. They're just like, "People keep paying, so we'll keep doing it." But these individuals, their greed is so much about more for me, get what I can, and they just take, 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 take. It becomes ugly. Ugly because it comes all about themselves. During this message series called The Precipice, what we're doing is we're looking at areas of our life, looking at areas of the way we live and way we have opportunities to begin to step over the edge, step over the precipice of experiencing more. Saying, "You know what, I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to step over this and begin to live life to the fullest. Begin to experience more. Begin to experience more than we ever thought possible in life. To begin to discover all that God has for us." Because if we just stay on the edge, or if we just walk away from the edge, we miss out on stepping over and experiencing something incredible on the other side of that edge. And there will be times in your life, and I believe this is one today, where you have the opportunity to take this moment and step over the precipice, step off of the edge, and experience God doing something incredible in your life. This morning, what I'm going to challenge you to do is to begin to evaluate your life. Begin to look at areas of your life and see, where am I greedy? Where is it all for me? Where do I take, 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 take? And how do I begin to step up to the edge of generosity and step over it? Because the central truth that's going to guide our discussion today is this, is realizing that putting an end to greed is the beginning of having everything. As soon as you and I stop thinking about everything being for us, as soon as we stop craving more and pursuing everything and wanting and wanting and wanting and wanting, as soon as we start putting an end to greed, we'll discover that we actually have everything. Because when you're greedy, you always need more. I always need that. I always want that. And ultimately, if you're greedy, you will never be satisfied. You'll always want, you'll always want, you'll always want. But if you and I can learn to switch that and begin to give. and begin to be generous and begin to take the focus off of ourselves and begin to focus on others, we'll begin to discover this freedom in living. We'll begin to discover this joy and contentment because what I have is enough. We'll begin to have opportunities to take the resources that we've tended to just go for me, and begin to direct those and put those into places where it will last forever. And now all of you are thinking, yippee, we get to talk about money. Yay, I was hoping we'd talk about money. None of you are hoping for that, right? But here's the deal. As the preacher, this is my promise to you. I promise to talk most about the topics that you think about most. And since there's women that still go to this church, we can't spend every week talking about what men think about most. Because they would get tired if that's what we talked about all the time. So we got to spatter in things like money and other topics. Guys, yes, you know. Okay, so we're going to move on from that. But when churches or preachers begin talking about money, when we start talking about this, we tend to make two false assumptions for why we would talk about money. If the preacher's going to talk about money, there's got to be a reason. Like, we all know it's not polite to talk about money and politics in public, and so what kind of a crazy guy would do this in front of a room full of people? So there's got to be a reason. And we tend to make two assumptions, and they're false assumptions. And if this morning I can begin to help you realize that these assumptions are false, it will begin to allow you to step over the precipice of generosity. First false assumption is this, that Silver Creek, or church in general, that Silver Creek is after your money. We just want your money. Now, listen, it takes money to operate a church. True, right? It takes money. And as a church, we've decided that we're not going to pay our pastors in circus peanuts and bubble gum. Thank you for making that decision. That's how I make my living. The mortgage company does not collect bubble gum either. So money is not a bad. So it takes money. But we're not after your money. This church is not trying to get your. If we wanted to get your money, we would start selling for $20 strips of cloth that Jesus himself blew his nose in. Right? You can have this when you're sick. No, we would start doing things like when we take the offering here in a little bit, when we receive that, we would start saying, listen, if you've lied this week, if you've lied to someone, if you'll drop $20 in that, you're going to feel better. You know what? If you broke a rule, you were playing a game or you broke, you know, you just cheated in some way, you drop $50 in there, you'll feel great. You know what? If you go to Starbucks and you steal coffee by using that free refill thing all day, like, $100, make the check out to Silver Creek, and we will let it all go. If we were after your money, that's what we would do. We don't talk about money because we want yours. We talk about money because money is one of the primary areas that get in the way of your relationship with Jesus. When you look at your life, and you begin to look at the areas of your life that are most out of control, you will find the areas where Jesus is least in control. Because most of us, if we look at the way that we manage our money, it's out of control, and Jesus has very little to do with that. We're not after your money. We're after helping you learn how to not let your money control you. Second false assumption is this, that Silver Creek is struggling financially. Not true. We are not struggling financially. In fact, last year, as Elizabeth and I were presenting to the board, we said, hey, listen, God's got some big dreams. He's got some things that we want to do as a church. And we don't want to just, we can't just keep at the same level. In fact, we believe that God is going to do some things, and we're going to trust that we're going to increase our budget by 14%. And the board's like, you're nuts. Yes, but let's do this. God wants to do something. We got to keep moving forward. And the board said, okay, if you believe that this is what God is calling you to do, let's do it. And we raised the anticipated budget by 14%. We just went through the three worst months of giving traditionally in churches, right? The summer, because you're all gone at Disneyland or whatever, spending your money on other things. We've got the best 4 months ahead still, typically. We are right on track. We're just like 2% off. Which is like 1 week. We're right there. God has been so faithful. People that go to Silver Creek have been continually generous. We're not struggling financially. That's not what we're talking about this. Listen, and there's no Daddy Warbucks fun in this thing. If you are, you could start, but you're not present. There's nobody currently like just funding the whole bill. There's a crew of people that are like, man, I'm giving extravagantly above and beyond, but there's not many of that. There's a whole bunch of us that are saying, you know what? I'm going to respond as God prompts. I'm going to give as God prompts. And as a result, we aren't talking about money because we're after yours or because we're struggling financially. We are talking about money because there are two truths that will transform your life. See, whenever we step over a precipice, anytime we step over a ledge, there are some truths that we hold on to that we're assuming are going to be accurate that will allow us to step over that precipice and not die. So I want to give you two truths that will transform your life as you step over the precipice of generosity. And the first one is this, is to recognize that Jesus is generous and those that follow him are as well. If you watch Jesus' life, if you were to read through the New Testament, the first gospel, the four gospels, if you were to look at those, you would see Jesus being generous again and again and again and again. Just read it. There's times where he feeds thousands of people. Yeah, he did a miracle, right? But he could have just left. He could have been like, on your own, good luck. There's a 7-Eleven that way, right? But he's like, no, take care of them. He went up to these 12 guys and he's like, listen, you don't have much of a future. I know you're just kind of like following your dad's footsteps. He's like, listen, if you'll follow me, I'm going to help you change the world. I'm going to give you a future you never even dreamed of. He went up to people that were blind. He's like, I'm going to give you sight. There were people that were in pain and in situations that were desperate. And he's like, let me help you. There were people that just needed time where everybody else had ignored them and shunned them. And Jesus is like, let me just pour into your life a little bit. Then there was that one time where he died for you and me. It's pretty generous. Even if you're like, you know what? I don't know that this Jesus thing is real. I don't know that it actually forgives sins. Listen, there's historical evidence that he lived, that he died, and he claimed he did it for you. So even if he's nuts, he still did it for you. You can't claim to be a follower of Jesus, have a clear understanding of who he is and what he's about, and then be focused all on yourself. Because he always thought about others. He was never greedy. And so if you and I claim that Jesus is helping us to become more and more like him, that includes a willingness to allow him to help us become more generous. And Jesus was generous. Those that follow him are as well. Second truth is this, is that greed brings about death. Think about it. If you're greedy in any way, if it's all about consuming for you, take it in, eventually that greed will kill you. Like just two basic areas. Think about eating, right? If you just eat and 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 eat, right? Old Country of a Fable will kick you out eventually, but like if you just eat, eventually you'll explode, which I don't want to be there. It'll be disgusting, but right? How about breathing? Take breathing. Eventually, I gotta let it go, right? If it's just greed, if you just take, you just eventually will isolate yourself. You'll be overwhelmed by it. You'll destroy yourself. Your heart will turn. Everything will be about yourself. And you'll just close in and you will start to die because the focus is all about you. And more than anything, your ability to hear God's voice will go away. Because you will be so busy listening to your voice about all of the things that you want, that that's the only voice you'll hear, and you'll no longer be able to hear God's voice. You'll no longer be able to hear God giving you direction, leading you to how to live and how to experience life. All other voices will be gone and you'll just hear your own and it will lead to death. Now, at this point, I'm anticipating three things. You either hate me, you think I'm lying, or I actually scared you to death with the greed thing. And so my hope is that you're like, okay, tell us how to jump off the precipice. We want to be generous. We don't want to die. You can stop begging. Are you here? Where are you going? You're like, no, you don't care. You want to just, okay, I'll tell you how to be generous. You're begging enough. I'll tell you. Here we go. Here's the steps that will put you over the precipice of generosity. These are the steps. If you'll begin to take these steps, if you'll just grasp these ideas, you don't have to like make them everything all about your life today, but if you'll just begin to take a little bit of action on a couple of these, if you'll just begin to make each of these things, begin to just make small adjustments in your life, if you begin to see how these can play out, you'll be able to move from a place of greed where it's all about you to slowly moving to a point of generosity where it's not all focused on you. Step number one is this, is to affirm God gives generously. Just God gives, or recognize that. Now, I told that story earlier about my friend that was going through Starbucks and their drink was paid for. Now, likely you've heard the scenario where somebody goes through Starbucks and they get up and they get to the front of the line and they're like, hey, the person in front of you paid for your drink. And oftentimes what happens is that individual goes, ha! They affirm the generosity of the person in front of them. And then what do? They go, that was very generous. Hey, I'll pay for the coffee for the person behind me. And then that next person goes, uh-huh. And they affirm the generosity, and then they pay for the coffee behind them. And then that person goes, uh-huh. And they affirm the generosity, and then they pay for the coffee. And then it just keeps going and going. And this very initial act by the very first person that was generous has now spurred on generosity because each person affirmed the generosity and then responded. When you and I begin to affirm that God has been generous in our lives, when we begin to see how much God has given us, it becomes difficult to not respond in the same way, to be generous beyond that. We see God be generous at the very beginning of the world. Go all the way back to Genesis, first book in the Bible. God has created the world. He's created the animals. He's created the plants and the humans. Everything is up and running. The verses are going to be on the screen behind me. They're in your message notes. Here's the deal. This is the very first words we have recorded. This is that God said, okay? There's other first words God has recorded. This is what he says. It says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and watch over it. But the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden. Pause right there. If you don't love God, if you don't think God's amazing, that verse should seal the deal. Freely eat. Like, it's all, go ahead and eat. I'm giving it all to you. I'm like, thank you, God. This is a man after my own, a God after my own heart. Like, eat up. These trees, they're all for you. Enjoy them. These trees that are growing that I've planted, God is like, generously, I'm letting you freely eat from these. And then how many trees does he say they could eat from? Like, those ones over there? Like, those two? And he's like, all of them. Not just a couple. He's like, every tree is for you. He's crazy generous. God's like, hey, I made you this perfect place to live, and you can eat it all. You never have to worry about anything. You could be going for a walk, and like, did we pack anything? Nope, I'm hungry. Oh, look, tree, fruit, good. Right? Like, you never have to plan. You just go. Hey, I'm getting hungry. Apple. Pff. Hey, I'm getting hungry. Pear. I'm convinced that God probably made a steak tree, right? Like, I'm hungry. I need some meat. Medium rare tree. Fantastic. Pfft, right? I'm hoping. But God's like, freely. Listen, literally everything that they had, all of it, available because God had given it to them. All of it. Everything. They had nothing that God hadn't given to them. And he's like, enjoy it all. I want you to enjoy it all. Now, we push back a little bit because what I'm about to tell you is this. Literally, everything you have, everything that you have available to you was given to you by God. All of it. Oh, but I earned it. I earned it. Yet, where did the creativity and the intelligence and the energy and the opportunity to earn that come from? Oh, God. Yeah. Working to earn that, like the best response you can have when you recognize that God has given you skills and talents and knowledge, the best thing you can do is to utilize those to generate money, to go out and create things. And then we affirm, God, thank you so much for giving me the ability to do that. God, thank you for saying, eat freely. I'm going to use these gifts, these things that you've given to me, I'm going to utilize them. and then enjoying the possibilities of those. Essentially taking every tree that God has placed before us and utilizing it. Now, part of affirming God's generosity is paying close attention to the next verse or to the rest of the verse. So it says, "You may freely eat the fruit of every tree in the garden, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat its fruit, you are sure to die." Hey, don't be greedy, basically. I've given you everything. Here's the fact. It's all yours. I want you to eat it, enjoy it. Just don't eat from this one tree. If you're so greedy that you have to eat everything, if it's all for you, it's going to kill you. So affirm my generosity, God is saying. Just don't eat from that one tree. Your greed will kill you. They had the chance to affirm God's generosity and to experience life, to choose to acknowledge that God's way was best by enjoying everything but one tree. And then God moves from that and continues to prove that he generously gives, because the thing that he does right after this is he creates a woman. Fellas, come on. This is a good deal, right? Like, God does two things. He creates food, eat a lot of it, and then he makes a woman. Right? Adam walking through the wood, like walking around like, "I'm hungry. I've had enough steak." Apple. He's eating an apple. God creates a woman. I don't know who she is. I'm going there, though. That's a good deal. God is good. First step, affirm God's generosity. Next step, don't take what's not yours. Your mom has been telling you this since you were a kid. If you realize that something's not yours, don't take it. But if you and I are greedy, we look at everything and we're like, "I want that, I want that, I want that. I don't care if it's theirs, I'd still like that." Prior to the Israelites moving in and taking the land that God was going to give them, he said, "Listen, as you go into the land, there's people, there's cities, there's individuals in this area. They have violated everything that I've stood for. And you're going to go in there and you're going to basically wipe them out. You're going to take those cities over. They violated who I am and what I stand for. And you can go in there and you're going to take those cities. And the very first city that you're going to take out is the city called Jericho. And Jericho is huge. It's massive. It's got this city wall that's incredibly, I don't even know what the right word is, impossible for them to knock down." It's like, "We can't take Jericho." God's like, "Nah, I'm going to hand it to you. In fact, I'm just going to knock the wall over. Their army's going to be totally vulnerable, and then you just walk in there and clean it up," right? He's like, "So I'm going to give you that. I mean, you're going to take Jericho, and then what I want you to do is we're going to move on to other cities. And we're going to just take other cities throughout Jerusalem. And as we take these other cities, you can have all of the gold and all of the silver and everything that's valuable. You get everything from all of those other cities. Listen, it's all yours. Every tree is yours. See it all? All of that over there? It's all yours. But Jericho is mine. This one city, it's mine. The things that you get from that, you're going to acknowledge that I'm going to pave the way for the rest of it. By realizing that my generosity, that I've graciously given you all of that, by just giving me what you get in Jericho. Just give me that one." So they attack Jericho. They go in. It happens exactly the way they planned. The walls fall down. They run in there. It's like easy pickings. They get it all. They plunder it all. They take it all back. They put it in the temple. Not long after that, they go and attack this city called Ai, which shouldn't have been a problem. I mean, it's basically like the Huskies playing Idaho State. It was like no-brainer, right? They should have just crushed them, right? That's what was happening. But it was like Idaho State beat Washington because AI just crushed them. They just whooped up on them and sent them home. Tails between their legs. They're like, "What just happened? We don't know. Can't figure it out." Turns out in the attack on Jericho, as they were taking it all back, one of the guys was like, "Take some of this. I'm going to take what's God's. I'm going to put it over here." And he kept some of the plunder from Jericho. And as a result, God's like, "I'm not going to help you guys because you didn't acknowledge. You took what wasn't yours." So they go to this guy. They do this big, long process. They figure out that the guy's name is Achan. They go to Achan and they say, "Hey, what's going on?" It says this. Achan replied, "It's true. I have sinned against the Lord, the God of Israel. Among the plunder, I saw a beautiful robe from Babylon, 200 silver coins and a bar of gold weighing more than a pound. I wanted them so much that I took them.
They are hidden in the ground beneath my tent, with a silver buried deeper than the rest. Achan just took what wasn't his. He got greedy. He missed out on the fact that God was saying, listen, I'm going to give you the rest of the cities. I'm generously giving you all of that. But he saw the robe and he saw the gold and he saw the silver and he took what wasn't his. And maybe you hear that idea and you're like, man, God's going to give them all of that. He's going to say all of those trees, but just give me that one. Just there's this one that you, boy, that seems kind of, why wouldn't God just give them all of that? That seems kind of rude. That's not very generous, actually. Is there, like, by chance, like a 7th through 12th grader here that, like, you're like, I don't have a lot of money? Is there a 7th through 12th grader that's like, I don't have a whole lot? Anybody? Really? You don't have a whole lot? You have a job, dude. What are you doing with it? Where? Okay, over here in the gray shirt, did you have your hand up a little bit? Yeah, come here. Come here. Okay, as he comes, is there like a maybe just out of high school, not quite 25-year-old that's like, man, I don't have a lot of money. You could be a little older than 20, but you're like, I don't have a whole lot. And you're like, I could really use some money. Like, I eat Top Ramen a lot, and not because I like it. It's just what I can afford. Okay, Sarah, come on. They're all pointing you out. You might as well just come up here. Okay, you can stand here, Sarah. Remind me of your name.
Jacob.
You struggled with that one. Jacob, for real, right? Okay, Jacob, so you're like, I don't have a whole lot of cash, right? Okay, could you use, if I were to give you $10, could you do something with it if I were to give you these 10 ones? You could figure out, what do you think you'd do with that 10 bucks?
I probably...
Okay, keep thinking on that. So here's the deal. No, here's what, I'm going to give you these 10 bills. Okay, 10 bills. All you have to do, you just have to confirm, promise all, this is actually not my money, so it's not like I'm all generous, this is church's money. So what we're going to do, you just have to say that if the church is going to be generous enough to give you these 10 bills, the very first one that I give you, keep track of it, and then a little later on when we take the offering, when the buckets go by, just put that dollar in. You cool with that plan?
Yeah.
You're willing to do that? Question, do you feel like we're being generous? Does this feel like we're being nice to you? Is this rude? Is that mean of me to take that $1? Like, you're cool with getting the other 9? That sounds like a good deal. Okay, so this is the first one. You know what to do with it?
Yes, put it in the bucket.
Put it in the bucket. Good. And then this one. There's
it.
No. You get to keep that. I want you to do something with that one. You can do anything you want with these. I don't want it back, actually. Go do something with it. Take your dad out to lunch or something. There's what do we got? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Remember what to do with the first one? Sarah, question. So we're big spenders, and I went and found these fancy $2 bills. Can you think of anything you would do with 20 bucks?
Yeah, a few things. Okay.
Now, I'll give you these on a condition that this first one that I give to you, you're going to put it in the bucket when it comes around a little later. Okay, and then the other 18, you can do whatever you want with it. Does that seem generous? Does that seem, are you like, that's so rude? No? Okay, so here's the first one. There's the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. We do something sort of fun with that 18? Dollars?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. You know what to do with the first one?
Yeah,
okay, good, good. Does that seem pretty rude? Are we mean? It's kind of cool to get to help them. Let me ask you this question. If you find out later on that neither one of those, they're both like, oh, I'm keeping that one. Are you like, that's kind of, that, what? Aren't you a little thrown by that? Why wouldn't they do that? Did they do anything? They just came to church. God is generous. And when he gives to us, he's like, hey, a part of that, that's mine. Don't take what isn't yours. Which brings us to step number 3, and that's this. Don't ignore the deadly side of greed. See, God, there's this guy that came up to Jesus, and he's like, hey, Jesus, how do I get to heaven? And Jesus explains, he's like, you got to change some things about you. You know, love your parents, do this, do that. And the guy's like, yeah, I'm good there. I got these things. I'm doing those things. And then Jesus says, here's the deal. Your money is getting in the way of you following me. It's in the way. Your money is your priority. So give away all your money and give away all of your stuff and then come and follow me. And then here's what happened. It says, but when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this said, then who in the world can be saved? I love this part about the whole crowd being like, who can do this? Because basically the crowd's going, man, if I was rich, if I had all that money, I couldn't do it. I don't know if I could respond any differently than the rich guy. And the problem is the rich guy and all of the crowd realizing if they were rich, greed would have gotten the best of them. They would have wanted to hold on to everything. Because the rich guy, and most of the time us, we make the assumption that everything we have is for our own consumption. Hey, he's the rich guy. It's all for him. It's all mine. I can do what I want. And Jesus is like, you know what? I'm fine. You can have stuff. The problem is you're so greedy with it. You're just selfish with it. And the rich guy's like, yeah, I don't think I can give it away. And so the rich guy takes all of his stuff and says, I'm just going to hang on to it. He decides he chooses his money and his stuff over following Jesus. And we look at that and we just love to hate the rich guy. Like, what a fool. I'm so glad I'm not rich. A couple questions. Have you ever gone out for dinner? Okay, so you're rich. Like, I don't even need to go beyond that. If you've ever gone out and paid for dinner, you're rich. When you're done with dinner, have there ever been leftovers on the plate and the gal comes up and she's like, so do you want a box with that? You want to put it in a box? If you've ever had to think, do I want that? Do I want it later? No, let it go. You're rich. If you have to think about that for a second, you're rich. Have you ever taken that box of leftovers home and you put it in the fridge and then you go about life and all of a sudden you open it up like a week later and you're like, what did we go out for dinner for? I don't even recognize this. Tacos? Lasagna? I don't know. Throw it out. It's growing, right? If you've ever thrown it out, you're rich. And all of the people that are looking at this scenario are going, man, don't be rich because it's deadly. Because once you're rich, you get so greedy and you just have to have it all. And you begin to hold it all for yourself and you ignore everything else and you just clutch onto everything for yourself. And you're like, I need this. Can't follow Jesus. I need this. Which brings us to the last step, which is where we start to take action. And we start being generous, and then we experience God outgiving us. When we begin to realize that being generous is a lot like a muscle, right? When you first start, have you ever started working out before and you start lifting, and as you start doing it, your arms, you're like, this, I'm not strong at all, right? And you're trying to lift, and you're like, ooh, and then you start, and all of a sudden that muscle is so sore. And you're so painful and you're trying to push through and you're like, oh, this is so hard and that initial pain is so much. But eventually, as you push through and as that muscle begins to grow, it starts to get stronger. And the pain starts to go away and the muscle starts to grow. And eventually, the muscle not only grows, the muscle starts to actually give back. Because you're doing something, you're like, oh yeah, I can do more. I can lift more. I can use this more than I used to be. And all of a sudden, after the initial start and the beginning of the process of starting to give, it begins to give back. There was a king of Israel. Right when he became king, he was going to go out and he was going to basically give a burnt offering to say, God, thank you so much. And typically when a king became king, they would give one burnt offering. This is what he did. It says, so the king went there and sacrificed 1,000 burnt offerings. That night, the Lord appeared to Solomon, the king, in a dream, and God said, what do you want? Ask, and I will give it to you. The king decides to be generous. The king decides, you know what? I'm going to affirm that God has been gracious and generous to me, and I'm going to give back. I'm not going to keep what isn't mine. I'm not going to ignore the deadly side of greed. And so he was generous. And when God saw his generosity, God turned to him and said, hey, you know what? I see you're being generous. I'm not only going to match that. You know what? Just tell me anything you want. I'm going to give it to you. Just anything. And when you and I begin the process of being generous, God will see that. And as you and I step over the precipice of generosity, God will be sure to provide for everything we need. Now, God not likely going to come to you and say, hey, tell me anything you want. It's not like a magic genie thing when we start throwing dollars into the offering. But God's like, listen, if you'll respond, I will take care of you. If you'll begin to realize that when I give you $10, and if you'll decide that one of those is mine anyway and you'll give it back to me, I'll make sure that you get more than that dollar back. I'll take care of you. And we begin to realize that God has given us everything and that a part of it is his. And we begin to say, you know what? I'm not going to steal from God anymore. I'm going to give him what is his. God will then begin to bless us and provide for us and give us everything that we need and take care of us in every way possible. And the deal is this. There's a lot of us that are sitting here this morning going, I really want to be generous. I get it. I don't want to steal from God anymore. I don't want to be greedy anymore. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to push through. And at the end of the month, with whatever I've got left over, I'm going to give that to God. Good luck. It's not going to happen. Listen to these instructions that were given to the early church. It says this. Now, regarding your question about money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. On the first day of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the money you earned, that God gave you the ability to earn. Don't wait until I get there and try to collect it all at once. Hey, if you just wait till the end, there ain't going to be anything left. So begin to be generous, give God what is his, and then live on the rest. Begin to make it a regular thing. When you get paid, give it to God first. The first day, on my calendar, yep, Sunday's first. Okay, that makes sense. Begin to affirm God's generosity. Begin to realize, I'm not going to steal from God anymore. I'm not going to keep what's not mine. Greed and focusing on all of what you want, getting everything that you want. Is that working? Right? Maybe you're like, you know what? We haven't been giving and we are struggling financially. It's not where we can't. We've not been giving and we are in trouble and we are all. Maybe change. Maybe it's time to change and say, you know what? We're going to put an end to being greedy. And we're going to begin to be generous. And as we stop being greedy and we become generous, watch how we suddenly have everything. I want to tell you a whole bunch of stories about ways that God has taken the dollars that you have given and the ways that you have supported the church, and then the way that God has been able to take that money and do incredible things with it. I have time to tell you one, unfortunately. Last week we had a zip line, right? We had this great big zip line out there. Don't know if you realize this, you can't rent zip lines for free, okay? They charge you money. So we paid a bunch of money for a zip line. Paid a bunch of money to give away food. Paid a bunch of money to advertise. Paid a bunch of money to get our property ready for a whole bunch of guests. At the end of the day, I had this incredible experience with a 9-year-old boy. I'd been standing in line with this boy and his mom from, you know, and we had talked, and the mom was like, this place is great. I think we're going to be coming to church here. He's loving it, da-da-da. We had that conversation. I'm standing in the lobby a little bit later. All of a sudden, the boy comes running through the front doors and just stops. This kid's like kind of crazy, right? Which I'm like, oh, boy. So anyway, he stops, and he's looking around all frantic, and he's got his, what do we serve, nacho. He's got his nacho bowl left in his hand, and he's looking around, and I was like, can I help you with something? He's like, garbage can. And I was like, it's over there. So he runs across the lobby and he jumps and does this really cool slam dunk right in the can. Just, and he runs back over and he's about to head out the front door and he stops. And he looks at me. And he looks outside. And he throws his arms up in the air and he goes, this church is awesome! And he's gone. I was like, whoa! Called the children's workers like, he may be coming, be ready. But because you've been generous, this boy has found a church. Your generosity, when you begin to give back, it's not just money that God's going to give you. When you begin to give back to God what is His, you'll get to hear stories about little boys that find a church. And then you'll get to hear stories about a little boy that finds a church, and then he finds God. And then you'll hear a story about a little boy that finds a church, and then he finds God, and then his life is transformed. Let's pray. God, would you help us as we wrestle with this? And it is not fun. God, none of us want to be called out and feel like we're greedy or that we're stealing or taking from you. God, would you help us to wrestle with that and acknowledge where that's true in our lives and begin to make changes? Begin to step off of the precipice of generosity. Thank you for speaking to us so clearly about this and for caring about us so much that you would help us understand the way that our dollars can get in the way of our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.